This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I reject the idea of needing to be in the US to make it in the comics industry.
One way to get published is to make your own publishing company. And so basically that's what Wolf and I did.
It's highly critical this year to be at San Diego and to succeed there.
If you're an Australian publisher and you're trying to make it big in the American market, I mean, you've really got a challenge ahead of you.
At this point, the books that were supposed to have arrived today have not. So things are slightly tense in my head.
Comic-Con is kind of like Christmas for those of us that love pop culture.
Hey, you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTIQ horror and science fiction radio show. Sci-Fi and Scream, radio with guts!
Welcome, Wolfgang Bilsma, to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great. And so it's pretty much been a building, suspenseful time for you guys at
Gestalt.
You're one of the founding fathers, I guess you'd say, and editor-in-chief of this Australian comics business company. How would you describe it?
Well, the official line is that we're Australia's premier graphic novel publishing house. It's, you know, somewhat arrogant, I think, to refer to ourselves as premier. But I, as far as I'm aware, we're actually the longest-running comics publisher endeavour in Australia. We have been around now for, let's see, 8 years, and we remain going strong. Our basic task, or the basic ethos that we work by, is to help promote the works of talented Australian graphic novelists, writers, illustrators, whichever medium they work in, to an international marketplace. I mean, we have ventured slightly further afield in that we have started working on some Americans as well of late, and a German artist is now on board with us, but primarily and predominantly we're still interested in working particularly with Australian talent and I guess wanting to foster an industry here and create intellectual property that remains within Australia.
And being based in West Australia, actually, has that had any drawbacks or what's the impact of being considered quite a distant?
Well, I'm actually based in Busselton now, which is a 2.5-hour drive southwest of Perth.
Oh, you know, good.
Operating for the most isolated capital city in the world wasn't a degree of difficulty far enough for me, so I sought additional isolation. There's the tyranny of distance, tyranny of geography, in anything like this that we do. For the most part, dealing with creators is fine because we can operate on Skype and email and other sorts of electronic communication, and that's predominantly how we communicate. But it's always great to get those face-to-face meetings when we go into state for conventions like Supernova or Oz Comic Con, and of course San Diego Comic Con, where we've previously had, you know, 4 or 5 of our creators travel along with us to promote their works and build their careers at the same time. You know, that's wonderful. It will be possibly advantageous if we were based somewhere in the US, but I've always taken the standpoint that I don't feel we should need to be. You know, there's a little bit of, I guess, pride in having built the company without going down that route, you know, because when we first set out, we wanted to be able to offer the opportunity for talented creators to, you break into the international marketplace without having to go over to the US or other shores to get their first job and or to, you know, get the publication experience.
Yeah, look, it sounds like it's been a very opportune time for all the things that have been happening to you as a publishing house. And, of course, you and your business partner.
Sky Ogden, the art director and co-founder.
Yes. I guess this is a question you do get, but what gave you the gumption to actually decide, because it's a big risk factor must have been involved, to form a publishing house for comics?
Yeah, look, it was really, I guess, a matter of wanting to feel like we were doing something we were passionate about. You know, we both had jobs working in graphic design and brand strategy, and Sky had previously been an editorial cartoonist. I was starting to produce commercial comic strips for some of my corporate clients, and we'd had a love of the medium, you know, since we were kids, really. And it really just came about because we were feeling somewhat disenchanted, disenfranchised, whatever the word you want to use is, with, you know, our day-to-day life. So seeking to inject some level of satisfaction and passion back into what we were doing on a daily basis, we decided after several weeks of talking about it that why not? What did we have to lose, really? You know, I've kind of always wanted to never think that things are impossible. I'm actually quite pragmatic in terms of my outlook in pretty much every other aspect of life. But in this, I seem to be curiously optimistic, and it seems to be starting to pay off 8 years later.
So the 8 years were the beginning of the germination, obviously friends getting together, thinking, you were both thinking how to promote yourself. Was that because you couldn't do it with anyone else, or?
Oh, no, it was more about seeing an awful lot of talent around us. Working in the design industries, we encountered a lot of illustrators and storytellers who were also working in design because they didn't have any other outlet. You know, these are people that wanted to be making comics because they loved them, but were still stuck in bringing home the wage and paying off the mortgage or paying the rent. There wasn't really any reasonable opportunity for them within Australia, and some of these people may not have had the dedication or the devotion to fly across to the US to try and break in, because the odds were just so heavily stacked against them. Which, you know, talent is one thing, the ability to sell yourself is another. And they don't often go together. So we really wanted to provide the opportunity for some of these people that we were becoming aware of to get their work out to an audience and start to build a comics career for themselves.
Yes, fair enough. Well, look, Wolfgang, you and Sky Ogden, your business or partner in crime as such at Gestalt Comics, you're doing something that perhaps others wouldn't be so bold to do. It is a bold thing to do, and from WA, of course, but taking it to the global comic community, I guess, and especially with your foray over to San Diego Comic-Con, it's still pioneering stuff, do you think, for Aussies to go to Comic-Con? Such a big scale production number that it is. As, look, San Diego Comic-Con is the dream of many illustrators and artists in the comics industry here in Australia. Getting yourselves there for the last 5 years, it's quite an achievement.
Yes.
How hard has that been to get yourselves there and having to do it consistently?
It's exhausting in every sense of the word, financially, emotionally, physically. You know, it's really not. Being there has been kind of a requirement to build a sense of validity around Gestalt and to get more of the awareness and the exposure to our brand, and of course the books and the people that we work with. We've noticed a steady increase in terms of, you know, seeing repeat customers come back year after year. People will come up to the booth and say, what's new from Gestalt? As opposed to, oh, I really like this book by this guy. Has he done anything new? So we're starting to build, I think, a bit of a fan base for, you know, our approach and our aesthetic.
Excellent.
Which, you know,
yeah,
is quite diverse, I will admit, in terms of the sort of title that we publish. You know, from all ages adventure like The Deep to labyrinthine coming-of-age stories like His Dream of the Skyland set in Kowloon, the walled city of Hong Kong, you know, all the way through to atmospheric horror like Changing Ways, etc. But it's actually really reassuring that people have started coming back to just see, you know, what's new from the company.
Right.
You know, we noted that a little bit in terms of Australian conventions, but to see that also be replicated at San Diego, where you have, you know, upwards of 140,000 people go through the doors over the course of 4 days, you know, that's also quite encouraging.
Yeah, that would definitely. You've got to get a high and a real sense of, you know, win-win victory, I guess, and a feeling of satisfaction when you know you're reaching out to those that many people.
Absolutely. I mean, you're still sort of dealing with a great many distractions from, you know, your booth and the space that you have, because you've got the major film studios, you've got gaming companies.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, the major comic book publishers. They're also doing all sorts of, you know, novelty shenanigans to lure people across to get interested in their material. So, you know, being an independent publisher with basically no budget does have something of a, does pose some restraints and restrictions on what we can do. But, you know, we've been bootstrapped from the outset, so it's really, we're kind of used to it by now. And, you know, we will do everything that we can, which seems to be quite a bit these days.
Just the two of you, yeah. You've obviously got a good friendship there to start with. And that's helped you endure?
Yes, I think so. You know, We occasionally have, you know, the odd disagreement in terms of business processes and what have you, but I think that that's actually good for the company because it means that we're never really just resting on our laurels or any of the processes we have in place. We're always looking to find ways to improve how we work and the sort of things that we do. Guy actually lives in Tokyo and works there as an art director in a video game company.
All right, excellent.
And there's a word that sort of crept into the Gestalt lexicon called Kaizen, which is basically, you know, refining, improving. And so that's something that we try to do and we talk about on a fortnightly or monthly basis, which is, you know, a bit difficult when we've both got day jobs and I've got a family and he's got a wife and a wife still living there, living in Tokyo. You know, we think we've done pretty well thus far and hopefully we'll keep doing better in the future.
And your own work. I mean, that's the thing. How much has that been affected by taking on and having to keep this baby, you know, growing and growing?
Well, I work for myself in my day job as well, which, you know, certainly helps because it enables me the autonomy to, I guess, increase my time just when necessary. But that said, it also means that occasionally I have difficulty paying the rent. I say occasionally. I hope my landlord isn't listening to this. Being a bit of a balancing act, I mean, I've now got a young son as well, so I need to be looking at my financial stability as a little more of a priority, which, yeah, getting better at doing that.
It's all a learning process. I mean, obviously, you have to... You either do it or you don't. So you guys certainly have taken that, what some would say, real risk, supporting something that surely is just niche. I've heard that a couple of years ago when I started the show, was people like saying to me, what comics? And I myself was quite ignorant about just locally homegrown product and comic creators just in the Melbourne area. But it's been quite a revelation to see it open up before me in the last couple of years. I've seen a lot of new people coming through and a lot of new comic meetups. And now you see a lot more when you go to conventions like Supernova and now Oz Comic Con and Armageddon, of course, which is a really positive sign.
Indeed. I think Melbourne's actually in a bit of a renaissance period for comics at the moment.
Yeah, there's some fantastic... I mean, I can't say all of them because I don't want to miss anybody. There's so many good ones, you don't want to miss anyone out. Of course, the big thing now for you guys is happening Tuesday the 13th of this month of August. And that is on ABC One. And it is... It's
Comic
you guys.
Book Heroes. Yeah, Comic Book Heroes, the documentary directed by Nicholas Dunlop of Little Star Productions, being broadcast on ABC One Tuesday the 13th and the 20th of August. I have slightly mixed feelings about this documentary. I say that because it was a very invasive process to have somebody follow you around for 3 years.
Yes, I should imagine.
So we have something of a love-hate relationship with Nick, but in all honesty, having seen the entire documentary, apart from a couple of minor quibbles I would have, I found it insanely engaging and quite distressing to relive some of the harrowing moments that he captured on film. And, you know, I never thought I'd actually get to the point where I wanted to thank him for telling the story. That's sort of how I feel. There's an awful lot that didn't make it into the film, of course, but, you know, he has to choose the narratives that he shares because he's only got limited time. And you can imagine that, you know, 3 years worth of footage being boiled down to 54 minutes is not an easy task. I know full well that he had, you know, a lot of people doing transcription work. I would have empathized over that process if, you know, it hadn't been such an invasive. But, you know, I think he's done quite a good job of capturing, if nothing else, then, you know, our intentions and the ethos that we work by, as well as giving, I think, possibly quite a disturbing behind-the-scenes view of what it means to run a company like this in Australia. And whilst I must admit I tend to like to think of myself as being relatively articulate, he does seem to capture me swearing on film an awful lot. But it's certainly not one for the kids to watch.
That's why it's on at 10 p.m. Although 10 p.m. these days, I shouldn't say this, but 10 p.m. is pretty early these days.
Yeah, particularly for a niche audience like those who watch a comic documentary.
Exactly. So will it be on iView, I guess, afterwards?
I believe iView is the plan, and there's discussion of a DVD release down the track as well.
Very good.
Which, you know, that would be a bit surreal, frankly. In fact, I think having the story broadcast on television is going to be a bit surreal.
Well, I guess for you, you're so close to it. Have you seen a lot of the... Well, I guess you've seen the whole thing entirely. How is that to sit there and watch yourself?
Harrowing. Yeah, I found watching it quite distressing, actually. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly some personal moments in the film that I have a little difficulty in acknowledging myself, let alone having that shared on national television, such as the nature of documentaries, I suppose. Mm. You know, it's capturing the reality behind the curtain.
I guess it's trying to get that truthfulness there, which, yeah. You know, documentary, like you said, it's a documentary, it's a snapshot.
Exactly. And we had an advanced screening of the first episode at Oz Comic Con in Melbourne.
Yes, I heard of that.
And we had a Q&A session afterwards, and one of the questions from the audience was, "This is so brutal to your lives. Why do you do this?" I thought, is it? No, episode one isn't brutal. Episode two is where that kicks in. but, yeah, it just sort of came back to the basic answer that where I like to say we have persistence of vision, but a little more blunt answer would be too stupid to quit, too stubborn to fail.
I like that. I wonder that myself. Not about you guys, but just my own life and experience with this show that I do. It's like, why do I keep doing it? I'm not getting paid. I'm not making money out of it. There's so many things and challenges that have been absolutely distressing and absolutely, you know, crazy, but still keep doing it because I'm passionate about it. I love it doing it. I wouldn't do it otherwise.
No. Well, you know. I actually ran a community radio show for about 20 years.
Excellent.
Which, you know, was syndicated nationally through the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.
Yep.
And only stopped after my presenter had a second stroke.
Rightio.
That was sort of the...
Yeah, a bit of a sign.
Trying to pull a pin on this one.
Oh, dear. That's, yeah. We're the crazy ones, but... Well, there's a reason for that, I guess, and if you're passionate about the sort of art that you are doing and also how you support and get other artists as a launching pad, you know, you're going to see the worthwhileness in that. And, of course, I guess it's addictive as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it really does. It comes back to that whole idea of passion. Working on something that you're passionate about leads to the satisfaction that creates the addiction. You know, you enjoy that sensation of having helped to create something that you see as worthy, worthwhile, valid.
Yeah.
More so than anything else that may be, you know, in your immediate vicinity. So, of course, that's something you're going to want to replicate and experience.
Again and again.
Exactly.
For you, it might be several hundred pages at a time or half a dozen. I guess it depends on the artwork and the comic creator. Now, not sure, this is just I just want to know, have you seen Indie Game, the movie?
No, I've not.
No, okay. You should look that up.
Yeah?
I think it's sounds like a very similar experience, and these are video game developers, and they follow them over a period, I think it's 2 years, 18 months or something, when they're trying to promote one game and sell their game, like it's their baby, and they're trying to launch it in a convention, and... very interesting. You know, I didn't really, you never really see the background to that side of the story. And I guess it's the same with comic book heroes. It's looking at behind the cartoon strip, behind the comic page, what goes on.
Exactly.
That's important to know. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be slightly eye-opening for a lot of people. I had a couple of reviewers which were advanced copies. You know, basically, you know, kind of saying, "Holy man, how is this just you two guys doing this?" And I liked that response, just in the sense of, you know, I think people believe that we're a much larger organization than we are, but that our passion makes up for, you know, the lack of resources.
Yeah.
We just, you know, make it happen regardless.
Yeah. And
I certainly hope that actually proves to be, you know, possibly inspiring to other people who may have been holding back on doing something similar. You know, the more people we have doing this in this country, the better off our industry will be.
Exactly. That goes the same with video game developers. That goes the same with filmmakers, and especially women filmmakers in horror.
Yes.
Things like that. It's those niches that if more people know that there are people like themselves, they can start networking and communicating, and that's what's been happening, and that's the beauty of technology, as you would understand it too, of course.
Yes.
And the great thing about getting these communities, linking them. So, yeah, It's very creative, interesting times, and I think it's very positive. And congratulations, seriously, for taking this burden and making something out of it that is a document for these times. I think it's wonderful and very exciting.
Thank you. I don't tend to know quite how to take comments like that, because I still think that we're just like a couple of guys trying to live this crazy dream.
I think you would know that there are other people who have a dream, of course, and you never know who's going to watch this. Some teenage kid, a girl or a boy, will go, you know what? Wow, me and my friends can do this. Maybe.
Yeah.
Have a go.
Okay, I certainly hope that would be an outcome. Like I say, the more people that do this, the better off we'll all be.
Mm.
I think story is so important in everyday life, and it seems to fall by the wayside for other things like social media, etc.
Yeah.
But I think it really provides that context to understand ourselves. Can you edit that a bit too? Because I sound like a fucking self-important wanker.
Okay, yeah, all right. I'll make a note, the bit where you say self-important wanker and just the bit before that. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
That's fine.
This is one of the reasons why I prefer a pre-record.
Yeah, well, this definitely is. Yeah, no worries.
I kind of know where I wanted to go with that, but my mouth got far ahead of my brain.
All right. Well, what I might do is ask you a question just about influences, perhaps. Looking back on your own career path, from where it's led to, and just ask, hey, what comics were you into when you were a lot younger?
Well, I kind of grew up on the staples of a lot of the British comics, like the British weekly comic series, like Beano, Wizard and Chips.
Yep, cool.
Before getting into some of the French translations of or the translations from the French versions of Tintin and Asterix.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And of course, growing up in a small town in Western Australia, I grew up in Albany.
Right.
We didn't have a great plethora of comics to choose from. It was whatever the reprints were through Murray Comics at the time that we could find at the newsagents. Mm. So I sort of grew up reading things like X-Men.
Yep.
A lot of the mainstream superhero fare, and it wasn't until I really moved to Perth at the age of about 13 that I discovered an actual comic book shop. And that opened up a whole new world, and I started devouring a lot of the indie stuff, getting into some of the earlier work of Dave McKean.
Okay, yep.
James O'Barr with his The Crow series when that came out, and Jeff Smith's Bone.
Right.
I remember picking the first issue of that up off the racks when it came out and absolutely loving it.
That comes up in a reference quite often when I do these sort of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Bone.
Mm. Yes, it should. It's masterwork, I think.
Yep. Definitely. Interesting. Good.
Mm.
Wow.
And from there, getting into a lot more of the Vertigo titles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And seeking more of the British independent material.
Yep.
Really, I think, grew my own aesthetic and enabled me to venture out into the European tones that were coming out at the time.
Quite a bit of an independent streak there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have still occasionally gone back into some of the mainstream comics to see what those publishers are doing, and quite often I find them impenetrable. The stories are so convoluted that finding a foot back into those universes is one step too hard.
Yeah. Good point. I mean, on our show, of course, we look at both worlds now, looking at local creators and so on, and independent ones too, and those influences, but keeping a foot in there with, the usual Marvel, DC verse type of stuff. But I must admit, it is like a labyrinth of, I think there's something like 10 million different character character stories now or something just in Marvel. I'm going, what? I would need to take the rest of my life off to read them. But some people enjoy that. That's their passion. And that's what they're into. So, yeah, that's okay.
Absolutely. Mm. To each their own. Everybody will find what resonates with them.
Yeah.
I've made the choice to publish the kind of stories that I find a personal resonance with and stories that I think speak beyond their page count.
Yep.
That, to me, is worthwhile storytelling. Other people may find a similar experience from reading, I don't know, the latest issue of Wolverine. There's no call for judgment on what people enjoy or what they get satisfaction from.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's constantly evolving and changing, and definitely Gestalt, you think you guys will be around for another 8 years? You planning on world domination, or?
I certainly intend to be around for another 8 years at least, possibly even 80 years if my life expectancy is that long.
Well, they are saying that we're supposed to work until we're 75, at least. No there retirement at 60 now.
Yeah, I'll be around for another 40 years at least then.
Cool. Well, then with the young ones coming up, it could be a family business or a family institution by then, which would be good.
Who knows?
You never know.
Pass the mantle down to my son.
That's right. Cool. Look, Wolfgang, is there anything else you want to add? Because, yeah.
No, I think that pretty much covers everything.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we get to talk about the doco in there. That's kind of important to promote at this point.
Yeah.
Seriously, thank you, sir, for taking the time and the interest in talking with me. And I hope that there's something useful in my spurious ramblings.
Seriously, I've spoken to comic creators before, and I've had to, edit about an hour's worth of ramblings, but all good stuff. It's so hard to cut it back, but I'll certainly cut out the bits that you did point out there. That's not a problem.
Beautiful.
All right, so where to next for you guys? Is there a con that's coming up that we can talk about?
We've actually, I think, finished with conventions for this year.
Oh, okay, yep.
I was Comic-Con, Adelaide, Melbourne and Perth, and Supernova mm-hmm. Perth, and
yep.
San Diego, and having been a guest speaker at the Asian Festival of Children's Content, and the Philippines Little Lit Fest. It's kind of time to stay at home with my family, I think.
That would be nice for them to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so next year, probably do the whole lot again.
Wow. Do you think there'll be a sequel?
A sequel to...
To the
documentary.
Yes.
we had joked with Nick that he should come back in 10 years' time and film us then and see what we're doing.
Oh, yeah, so, like 7-Up or something.
The 7-Up series, yeah. So, and Nicholas Dunlop could be the Australian Michael Apted. It remains to be seen as to whether or not it remains too niche for people to be interested. Oh. I certainly hope that, people engage with the story.
Oh, I think they will.
I think, it's indicative of any creative industry within Australia that has aspirations beyond, a local market. And there's a lot of suffering that people can, share in if they're in a similar boat.
Yes.
A little bit of optimism that comes in at the end too. So you never know.
Oh, that's good. Look, I think the more we have of these sort of documents, the more we have of these sort of filmmakings, and who knows, even a television series in the long term would be fantastic. It's got to be good. Mm. It's got to be better than a lot of stuff that's out there. Pretty much.
Let's just say that's
made in Australia.
Big Brother.
Oh boy. Oh yeah. I couldn't believe they were doing another one. I just could not. Give me angst and challenges and bit of poverty any day. Really.
Mm. Well, how about give me constructed drama with characters that I actually can empathise with and care about. I go to bed at 2 o'clock, but I generally get 2 or 3 hours sleep before I'm up again at 6 or 7. Because I'm constantly getting up to placate him currently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting sleep.
That stuff. Being at a convention.
Being at a convention, actually, means I get more sleep than I do at home.
Oh, dear.
And that's not right.
No. You must be in autopilot if that's happening. That's a bit sad. Yeah. All right. Well, look, congratulations again on Comic Book Heroes, which will be on ABC One the 13th of August of this year, 2013. It's fantastic news. Good luck to you and Sky Ogden and all your stable of artists and creators, writers and so forth. And we wish you, all the best. And a great journey ahead. We'll talk again in 8 years.
Sounds good to me.
No, look, if you're in Melbourne, more than welcome to drop in.
Yeah, that sounds like
props.
A plan.
Cool. Thanks very much there, Wolfgang.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Sonia.
Cheers. Thanks.
Life can take you on some pretty strange journeys and leave you feeling a little bit twisted. Take some time to embrace the darkness so you can fully perceive the brightness of the light. Join us on Sci-Fi and Scream every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.